man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the PBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whitening. I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a ship.
Can you please come in?
Point of order.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to another week of Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amrao. I'm joined in the studio this week by my politics team at the Sunday Times, Apiwe de Klerk, Zimasa Matewane, and Zingisa Mvumvu. Guys, thank you so much for joining me this week. How are you guys doing? Zimasa, you've just got back from Tokyo. Are you happy to be back in South Africa?
No.
She didn't even think about that response.
I don't want to be here.
But guys, I just want to give a big shout out to everyone who's listening as well. Our podcast has grown quite substantially since last year. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's listening and downloading the podcast. We really appreciate it, and I really hope that you like what we're doing here.
Let's get straight
into it this week. Let's start with something that's happening at the State Capture Inquiry. On Monday and Tuesday, former ANN7 editor Rajesh Sundaram, he's an Indian national who was called in from India to basically launch ANN7 back in 2013. And he was telling the State Capture Inquiry and the Commission's chairperson, Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, just exactly how the former president, Jacob Zuma, had so much influence in how the station worked and its sort of editorial policy. And he apparently, guys, our former president, what's shocking is that this guy was busy running the country, right? He was busy running the ANC. He also had time to come in here and advise on how to run a station. He even apparently came up with the name for the station. He wanted it to be like CNN, so he sort of suggested ANN. He wanted it to be African News Network, but the name was already taken. So the Guptas came back and said, okay, listen, we like your name, we'll do an ANN7. This guy went, apparently he also, the former president also, he approved the logo for the station, he decided on its editorial policy, he said that he didn't want it to directly attack the ANC, he wanted it to be more favorable towards him and his faction within the ANC and his supporters. Although I'm not surprised, I just find it so, I'm actually quite shocked in a little way that this guy had so much influence.
So the guy is confirming this thing that Ubaba was running a country while being a creative director for ANN7.
Exactly.
I just want his multitasking skills. From running the country to ANN7 and all the wives and all the kids, he still managed to do it with swag. You never see him sweat, that guy. He was quite a chilled.
Where have you ever had a president doing that? Remember that story that he also had a salary from a security company in
Etowah.
The thing is, now Zuma is complaining that he doesn't have any money to pay his legal fees. I think a media company should hire him as a producer for one of the things. Let's see what the president can really do.
Actually, we should bring him here.
We don't have an editor at lunch here. We just have an editor.
Maybe we fire Paige and bring Obama.
Yeah, so our idea now is that we're going to fire our producer for this podcast, Paige, and we're going to bring in Obama. Yeah, so it's quite interesting, guys, that there were apparently three meetings that the whole ANN7 managers, so your Ajay Gupta, Atul Gupta, some of the big bosses at ANN7, along with Rajesh, that he confirmed, and he said that he went on three occasions to Zuma's official state residence in Pretoria, where they had three separate meetings about how the station should be run. And if we remember, if we look back to ANN7, it was sort of a propaganda machine for Zuma, was it not? So I guess he did his job there.
Both it and the New Age.
Exactly.
New Age will tell you about the cabinet reshuffle, that no one had heard rumors that there was going to be a cabinet reshuffle to start with. They would give you the names. So it was his personal propaganda machine. And you wonder why these guys got so much power and were able to say the things they were able to say to elected ANC representatives, elected public reps, serving ministers and all that. He basically, by doing that, he gave them everything, and and in return he was also having his PR nightmares being sorted out by ANN7, and some of there are quite a number of people who are former supporters of his or current supporters of his who still tell us they miss ANN7 because they gave him a platform so that they can defend him and attack whomever they see as his opponent. Can you imagine if ANN7 was still around now?
But you know what was very interesting for me is what Sundaram said about what Zuma had apparently told them in that meeting. And what became clear is that the former president hated mainstream media in South Africa. He disliked it with a passion. And he apparently told Sundaram that mainstream media in South Africa was not doing what it was supposed to do. It was not giving him an opportunity to express his own views. And they needed a station that would propagate his side of the story. But he also wanted to have a semblance of credibility. And he also said he was so strategic in the way he came up with this concept, because Zuma apparently told him not to block out the DA and the EFF because it would look too propagandist. He said, no, bring in their views, but let's slightly frame it in a different way so that we can express other things. I mean, it's almost North Korea-like propaganda machinery, is it not?
Look, it's not surprising, Amir, that the former president would have held such views that, the mainstream media, as he calls it, is not doing what it's supposed to do. You'd remember that we, the mainstream media, have been the ones who have been holding him accountable since day one. And I mean, it's quite absurd and ridiculous to say that he's never been given an opportunity, because every time we write stories, we operate on the basis of giving everyone a right of reply, which we do to him every day. Up to this day, well, you would know the situation with his spokesperson, who never really replies to anyone. he can't turn around, the boss can't turn around now and start blaming anyone. He's had his opportunity to explain himself. He always, I mean, even now, you know, it's fine with Zuma. Zuma always complains that he's not having a chance. He complained that he wants his day in court. He has his day in court. No,
now
I don't want to
want
be in court. he always complains, I'm not being heard, as he's said to have been complaining.
But
I mean,
the word he spoke was always quoted. We always give him.
He's given a platform here at this very Zondo Commission. And what is he saying now? He's saying, no, I will come when you sell the sweets that I like. You know, so he really doesn't know what he wants. It's just, he's a technical guy who likes technicalities and using everything to his favor. So it's not surprising at all that he wanted something that would propagate his propaganda. And besides, I mean, Zuma, although we live in a democratic state, is that kind of an authoritarian guy that wants his power to be felt. Yeah. So people like that need something of that sort.
But the danger in a sitting president having so much say in how the media operates to an extent of, you know, founding a media company that is going to spin his... Yeah, so it's just scary. It makes you question the whole notion of media independence. How safe are we from this ever happening again?
Mm. And with that, I think we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big topic of the week, and that's the South African Reserve Bank, which has come back into question after the ANC's NEC met this weekend. And Ace Magashule came out, the party secretary general, and said, made some wild claims, which were then refuted by other members of the party, including Finance Minister Tito Mboweni, causing a massive stir in the markets as well. Join us when we get back, and we'll talk about that then.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome back, guys. We're going to talk about the ANC statements which Ace Magashule gave out after the ANC NEC this weekend. And it's massive, because what he says, and I'm going to quote him here, and he says that the deployees will ensure that the resolutions of the 54th National Conference will be fully implemented in this regard by the ANC NEC Lekgotla, agreed to expand the mandate of the South African Reserve Bank beyond price stability to include growth and employment. But here's the important part. It also directed the ANC government to consider constituting a task team to explore quantity easing measures to address intergovernmental debts to make funds available for development purposes. Now, guys, this is massive, and it sent the markets into shock, because what quantitative easing basically is, and it's a way for central banks to boost a struggling economy. It may sound all well and good, but basically what it is, it's printing money that doesn't exist. It basically creates money out of thin air, electronically, right? And just simply typing in new amounts on its balance sheet, and then this is sort of the superpower that central banks have, and this is what Zimbabwe sort of did back in the day as well. It worked for the US and it worked for Europe before. This is what was said to have taken the US out of its recession, but it's really not a good idea for South Africa. So let's start here with the South African Reserve Bank, because it's been a massive issue since the 2017 Nasrec conference with ANC, where the resolution was taken to sort of change the mandate of the Reserve Bank. I don't know if you guys remember that. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. Mm. Let's start with the Reserve Bank. It's been working. It's one of the best working institutions in our country right now. It's completely independent, I would say, and it's worked very well for the country. Why should we start changing or looking into changing this?
Look, first of all, me personally, I don't believe this whole conversation around the Reserve Bank is taking us anyway. Mm. That's just my personal opinion. But then back to the ANC. The ANC, as you say, resolved in Nasrec, and the ANC, according to the ANC constitution, is that a conference, an elective conference, is the highest decision-making structure, other than that, then being the NEC between conference. But in fact, NEC can't take such decisions. Those are only reserved for such meetings of the national conference. It resolved that it will nationalize the Reserve Bank and expand its mandate, whatever that means. And I think this communication by Esma Kashule out of the ANC NEC Lekgotla at the weekend was nothing new. Let's start there. Yeah. It was nothing new. He was, as he said, that the NEC Lekgotla reaffirmed that the resolutions of the 54th National Conference must be implemented, including this expansion of the mandate of the Reserve Bank. Therefore, I think in any organization that has got established rules and a constitution that guides it, there was nothing sinister on the part of ACE as long as such an issue was.
But the quantity easing issue is a new issue, is it?
It was a new issue. Yeah. It was a new issue. But as I say, if such was discussed, it's just that, even with this noise that's going on now on the media and the social media, what we are not getting is whether that particular part was discussed at all at the Lekgotla. But I highly doubt that the SG, Esma Kashule, would come out so bold knowing that he's on national television and everywhere and say something that was not discussed at all. Even those that have differed with him, they haven't said that this thing was not said. It's just that they're...
Did or did in a tweet. I don't know how to take him seriously in a tweet, but he said it in a tweet.
Yeah, but you see, they're saying that is nonsense. What is this qualitative easing? But they are not saying such was never discussed at the NEC Lekgotla. Until such a person says so, and then would know that ACE is putting his personal views. In fact, as things stand, the other people are putting their personal views, because ACE is saying Lekgotla, and no one has come and contradicted him and said Lekgotla didn't discuss these things, other than people stating their personal views.
Yeah, look, my problem with this whole, and there's been three key figures here.
Yeah.
Esma Kashule, representing the party officially.
Yeah.
Enoch Godongwana, the chairperson of their
economic transformation.
Yeah. And then the finance minister. Those are very key people for our economy.
Exactly.
In that ACE is supposed to give us the official stance. So now the only person who's missing in this whole thing the president because this
maybe he's just shocked at what's happening.
No.
Now you have a situation where we are trying to build an economy, to create jobs as a country and so on, and you have uncertainty. Now, this debate about uncertainty is not necessarily when you agree or disagree with business or the mining sector or which other sector. It's the fact that you don't know what the party actually stands for on this particular issue, on this particular issue, or what's next when it comes to the state.
Yeah.
So in terms of Tito Mboweni, I think the president should come up and say, as the government, this is our official stance. We should not be hearing it from Tito Mboweni, especially after his own party, the highest ranking official currently at the head office, has said that we went to a meeting which he attended, by the way, the president. This is what we've come up with.
Yeah.
So Tito Mboweni and Enoch Godongwana may have agreed, may have disagreed during that debate, and it may be that this is their personal stance. Why isn't he coming out to reassure, to say, okay, either no, this is not what the party agreed on, this is what, this is our stance, or no, this is what the party was saying, and therefore, you know, so that the markets are at ease. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
Did you go to a meeting and agree that this is what happened?
Yes.
It's not like it's a meeting of five people.
Come on,
you know. It was a lekutla. It's extended. Yes, it's not just the NEC. So it's the way they are going about achieving this economic growth and creation of jobs is very,
going backwards,
it's very shaky.
It's shocking.
It's like we are still going towards the conference of the ANC when we are coming out of the national elections, where everyone should be clear what should be done to boost the economy and create jobs.
Ziboso, let me ask you this. We have one voice coming out of Ace Makashule and what's going on. Then we have another voice from sort of Ramaphosa loyalists, and I put that in inverted commas, Tito Mboweni and Enoch Godongwana. Does this show, is this a symptom, and is this an illustration of the rifts within the ANC and Ramaphosa's control or lack of control in his party?
I think we're way past symptoms now. We're actually even way past diagnosis. The ANC is in chaos, it's in tatters, all of it. And I have to agree with Apiwe that you have the SG who is speaking on behalf of the ANC, and you have these two leaders who are not only disagreeing with him, but challenging him as if they were not in the same NEC meeting that we are being told took this certain decision. So perhaps really it's time for the president to come out and say, this is the stance of the ANC, this is what we agreed on, and this is the way forward. Remember in January, for the manifesto launch, there was also another chaotic moment also surrounding the Reserve Bank, where the same SG was accused of sneaking in some phrases there in that sentence of the Reserve Bank. So I think honestly the president owes us an explanation and clarity. That's all we ask. I'm sure that the markets would like that too.
You see, I mean, I think also here a historical background into this whole fight around the Reserve Bank and policy direction in terms of what you may call now the Ace Makashule faction versus Cyril Ramaphosa faction. Let's go back to Nasrec. Nasrec is where Cyril Ramaphosa was elected the president of the ANC.
Billy. Just Billy.
Yes. But the analysis at the time was that although he went there preaching the whole New Deal, he had his own thing that was called the New Deal, in terms of policies, you know. And then there was Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who was on Ace Makashule's faction, who were preaching the so-called RET, radical economic transformation, and the nationalization of the Reserve Bank, land expropriation without compensation, which happened to be the policies that ended up winning, despite its presidential candidate Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma not having won. But in terms of those policies, so I think Ramaphosa, part of the reason he's not coming out now is that he's caught between a rock and a hard place, in that he cannot appear to contradict policies that were taken at the National Conference of the ANC, which elected him, although those were not his favorite policies. So I think that, in essence, I would like to believe that he agrees with Enoch Godongwana and Tito Mboweni, but he cannot come out and say that publicly, because that would be, in essence, disagreeing and disobeying the resolutions of the National Conference, and there are consequences for that. Next year, we are looking towards the National General Council, which is going to be reviewing how the leadership has done since it was given the mandate in 2017. So I think the president is walking on the fence deliberately, so to be safe on both sides, to be safe in terms of his friends who are friends of business, and in terms of the ANC structures, which are the branches, so that when it gets to the National General Council, at least he's on the safe side. But unfortunately, that is not taking the country forward.
But the thing is, we can't be playing it safe, and this is precisely why. It's because South Africa's economy contracted by 3.2% in the first quarter of 2019, and that was the worst drop since the same period in 2009, and that's when we had the whole global financial crisis. South Africa's GDP growth in the first quarter was 0% year on year, and it was far worse than it's anticipated. We cannot be playing fast and loose with economic policies right now. We need decisiveness, and Ramaphosa had promised the country this all the way back from 2017 with his New Deal. As you said, he came with a range of solutions, or what was masquerading as solutions at the time, to South Africa's economic problems. And most of our problems in the country arrive from these economic problems. If we can fix these, we can start to build our country. And now, as we're talking about this, let's get into this GDP issue. We need more firmness from the president on exactly what's going to happen and how we're going to build the country, because whatever we've been doing so far has not been working.
Decisiveness from Ramaphosa.
Yeah. You see, this contraction of the GDP is exactly... it epitomizes what the feeling of investors and business is towards the policy direction of the ANC, which is almost non-existent economic direction as things stand. Because now we can't have... These people have been fighting about the same thing since June 2017 at the policy conference of the ANC. It's 2 years later, exactly 2 years. They're still fighting about the same thing. So if I'm an investor, I'm out there, I really want to invest in this country, but I need to understand what their policy direction is economically and otherwise. But every day I wake up, this one is saying this, the other day this one is saying, I will never throw my money into a situation like that. And I think we will continue to struggle as long as the ANC leaders are behaving like this. Actually, guys, the problem here is the ANC. The ANC, it should be said, is a big problem. We are where we are economically because of the ANC now, as things stand.
And they just got rewarded.
And unfortunately, they've just been given power again. But to show that the arrogance and the cluelessness that has run deep into the ANC, barely a month after being given another chance, which they call the last chance, they are behaving in this manner. No direction, no clue of where we are going, clutching at straws, speaking against each other. How can we trust such people to lead us out of this? I can safely predict that we are going to go further down the drain from this point on economically, and there's not going to be job reducal, as they alleged yesterday that they'll reduce it from 27% to 14% with this kind of rhetoric. No, come on, man.
Let's take this one step further, guys, and talk about our president quickly, Apiwe Nzimasa. Now, Ramaphosa was supposed to be our economic savior, right? That's how a lot of analysts portrayed him at the time, as this guy's going to come around and turn everything around. We had this conversation last year, and we said that no, it's too early to judge Ramaphosa because he's just got in and he hasn't been able to do too much. It's been now a year and a half.
Yes.
If not longer. Guys, is this guy sticking up to what he promised to do?
It was Zuma, as I said.
Who said what?
Don't include me.
I do remember it was Zuma who said it was too early to judge Ramaphosa on his economic prowess. Is it still too early to judge him, Zuma? Or can we start affording him some judgment now, looking at these figures?
I think everyone now is tired of Ramaphosa and his indecisiveness. I think what everyone wants from him now is to act. You have the power in the ANC. We have given you a mandate as South Africans. You know what our expectations are. You know what our struggles are. What are you doing about it? We're tired of seeing Ace and Tito tearing each other apart on Twitter. It's not going to take us anywhere.
Absolutely.
So... No, it's actually becoming too late for Ramaphosa. That's my view.
So which is why his next State of the Nation address. That's where I think we should judge him.
Yes.
What he comes out saying, you need concrete plans. Look, he had done well for the previous State of the Nation address. I was surprised for a president who was anticipating an election. But now it's post-election. We need a clear five-year plan.
Exactly.
This is what I'm going to do in 6 months. Based on what we are seeing from ANC, you really need that. Based on this, should we call them beefs between the three?
Chickens.
You know, you're disrespecting beefs.
So you need him to, when he address us, to tell us in the next 5 years, when we said we were going to cut this unemployment rate to 17%.
To
14%. To 14%. These are the steps that we are going to follow.
Yeah.
Not what the previous guy did, promising a million new jobs.
Yeah.
And then the next State of the Nation said, I meant job opportunities. And then the next State of the Nation address, we have job losses.
Yeah.
So that we can hold him accountable. Mm. I forgive the guy for the previous year or so, because it was not really his term. He was finishing something that was started somewhere else and whatnot. Yeah. This is his thing now.
Yeah.
He can't say, okay, maybe that year he said his people would say they were trying to stabilize, trying to fix SOEs. I don't know CEOs are quitting left, right, and center.
Nothing is stable.
Yeah.
That's my issue with the whole new dawn, that nothing seems to be what
struggling.
We had anticipated.
It's
the
struggling.
Economy is contracting. This whole cleanup thing, people are quitting, and you know,
it's a circus. I know you're optimistic. I'm so happy you're optimistic
for.
And well, with regards to the president himself, well, he has proven not to be a man of his word already. In that, the last year's 2018 State of the Nation, he said he was going to cut down the cabinet. Where are we now? The cabinet is more or less the same, if not bigger than the previous one. So a man like that has already demonstrated that he cannot be trusted.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that had the ANC adopted whatever new deal economic policies that were aligned to Ramaphosa's faction, and he had won. Do you guys think he would have been
I think we need a whole nother podcast.
but Zim, to answer you, I think he would be doing better, because then he would be implementing something he believes in. There is nothing as difficult as being forced to implement something you don't believe in.
And Ace is there, he's watching you.
He doesn't believe in this RET thing, but he is forced. He's a sitting president, but these are resolutions of conference. And I think it's shame to his fairness, this guy, maybe we can forgive him for that, to know that these are not his policies. Maybe the NGC must make new policy.
but you see, with the stance Ace has been taking, he's been consistent. In public platforms, say, comrades, implement the resolutions of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Anyone who deals with you for implementing resolutions of conference, you must not be scared. And he was very remember that rally he had in Free State before the cabinet, the new cabinet, and he was saying, Comrade Lindiwe, you're going to get a lot of attacks because you are implementing resolution of conference because of the issue of Israel.
These
Nasrec resolutions, when he speaks, gets him so excited.
He's very much invested.
So we just have to brace ourselves for the circus until the next conference.
Until
2022.
I can tell you. Because that is exactly what's going on. You are right, Kek. One thing that Ace is consistent about is the referral to the resolution.
You want
of yesterday, in the press conference of the Likhutla outcomes briefing, he even went further to say, we are reaffirming that the center of power is the Thule House. So he was essentially saying, I am a Ramaphosa's boss. He is not going to tell me. I'm telling him, as mandated by conference.
Hence Ramaphosa is quiet.
So it's really hard. But in fact, one time when Ramaphosa joked that Ace is his boss, he was not joking.
I think that's the perfect place to leave it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me in studio. Thank you all out there for listening. You can join us at the same time next week, and you can follow us at on hashtag ST Politics Weekly on Twitter. We'll all be sharing those links to the podcast. You can also follow us on Times Live. That's our website under the opinions and analysis page. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We'll catch you next week.